What's up, everybody? Welcome to Double Tap Episode 3, Tres en Español. I think that's right. I don't know. This is America. I'm Dave Merica.
Right.
Not Dave Merica. And always with me is my boy,
Tony. What's going on, y'all?
So, we have a lot of good things to cover this week. Just in case this is your first time checking us out, we are gaming podcast, obviously. Gaming / entertainment, movie, music, trivia, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, more gaming, but whatever kind of fits in that category. You know, if you like games, you kind of like comic books, yep. Certain movies, stuff like that.
Once a month, we like to fit in a topic relating to what's going to be cool in the gaming world for that month. So this month, like I said, if this is your first time checking us out, it's the zombies this month because of Dying Light and the Resident Evil remake. So
and Call of Duty Zombies.
And the Call of Duty Exo Zombies and whatnot. So
that worked out pretty good. If you didn't watch that podcast, check that one out. We'll put a link in down in the description there. You can watch that. I know the audio kind of sucked on that one because we were just getting started out. Didn't know how to get the mics working. I think we have that all solved, so it should be good to go on that.
Progress through experimentation.
Right. You know, get better as you go on.
Yep.
So, let's go ahead and start the show. I'm going to go ahead and do some cleanup from last episode. The last podcast was just audio only. If you haven't, please subscribe to us on iTunes. If you go in iTunes app or store or whatever and search for Double Tap, we should be the first podcast that shows up. And you should see our little faces together there. And subscribe, please. Like and comment. Give us some feedback. Let us know what you think of the podcast. We would greatly appreciate it. But last week's episode, we forgot to mention a little game that came out on Friday for the Xbox One. It's a little indie puzzle platformer called Unmechanical Extended. You play as a helicopter kind of flying around. It looks like you gotta find your way through this 2D world. Looks kind of interesting. It's a little $15 game, I think it was.
Oh, definitely sounds worth $15.
Yeah, right. the other thing I mentioned was ESO. They are changing the name to Tamriel Unlimited. That's coming out on the consoles on June 9th. I did mention that it was going to switch over on the PCs. I thought it was going to switch over as well on June 9th. However, it is going to switch over sooner. According to their website, they plan on switching that over on March 17th. So if you're on PC, look for that to switch over on March 17th.
And for those of you acronym challenged, ESO is
Elder Scrolls Online.
There you go.
There we go. And last thing to touch up on, Grim Fandango. I mentioned it was on PS3. I seen it on the PlayStation 3 market. I thought it was coming out to PS3. Matter of fact, IGN had it listed as coming out on PS3. So I thought it was. However, it is not. It is only for the PS4 and the Vita, and it is cross-buy. So if you buy it on the one, you have it on the other. And that's all the touch-up for last week's episode. So let's start with what you've been playing, Dave.
Obviously, Dying Light. I have literally not even touched my Destiny, which has been in the PS4 ever since it came out. And it's so good. Like, I can't even quit playing it. I've been up late past couple nights playing it just because there is so much stuff to do and it's so fun. That's pretty much it so far. I haven't even touched the Be a Zombie mode yet just because I'm having too much fun free running, parkouring, David Bell style. And it's just been great. Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been scared to turn that Be a Zombie mode on because you can turn the Be a Zombie mode on to let people invade your game.
Yeah.
And just starting out, I didn't want to die. So
yeah.
Let's keep that off for now until I get some skills unlocked, and then I'll unleash the zombie.
I might actually go ahead and unlock or make my room invadable, if that's a word. I don't know. I'm not a grammar Nazi, so I don't care. But I feel like I've gotten to the point where my guy is a solid enough level to where I can pretty much handle whatever comes my way. I know that when you are the zombie, you get these like tendrils that shoot out of your hand, like Spider-Man or Venom, or whatever
spider
you
zombie. Choose.
Spider does, zombie, basically.
Does whatever spider zombie does.
Yeah, except for the whole radioactive thing, because he's technically dead, I guess. But that gives whoever the zombie player is a more mobile advantage. However, from some of the footage I have seen, he's very easily damaged by the UV light. And it takes his health down really quickly. So you gotta basically just use tactical thinking and your speed advantage to kill the opponents. So I can't wait to try that out.
So that's about all you've been playing then, just Dying Light?
Just Dying Light, right. Man, yep.
Gotcha. So I've been playing Dying Light with you. I mean, we got on Tuesday.
Yep.
So, I mean, we had, what, 8 of us in our chat lobby,
and there was like, I think it was completely full. And we ended up getting in a party of 4, didn't we? Yeah, Traversing through the land of Harran.
Yeah,
well,
there was two separate games going.
Yeah, there were like two separate games going. In Dying Light, you could play 4-player co-op. And we had a full party of 4, and then my friends had a full party of 4, so we were just going back and forth, and like, hey, there's something over this way, and there's actually a couple of really cool Easter eggs to discover, which I'll go over that with everybody when we do our Let's Play. I'm planning on doing one of those here.
Yeah, as soon as we finish recording this episode, we're going to stop this and then do a Let's Play video, so look for that after this goes up. And then I also, besides Dying Light, I started playing the Call of Duty Zombies DLC, Havoc. I played a round of that. It feels a lot like the original Call of Duty Zombies mode. I don't think it's that much different. They got a 3D printer instead of the mystery boxes. I believe that's what it was called.
Okay.
So I think it randomly prints your weapon. Like I said, I only played one round just to get a feel for it because I wanted to get back to Dying Light. Yeah. And, yeah, I like it so far. I get more into it. It's a, you know, usual thing. You pay to get through to the next area. You gotta buy your way through the doors. You can buy the exosuit, or if you wait to get through other rooms, I believe there's a exosuit you get out of a display case, which I did, and it didn't cost me anything except for buying to get through the doors.
Mm.
And then there are zombie dogs.
Yeah, I've seen that in one of the trailers. They kind of do like the head splitting thing, or something to do with their mouths unhinging. I can't remember. I only watched it for all of like 2 minutes, however long it was. But, yeah, it seemed a little out of the, comfort zone as far as Call of Duty zombies. I mean, that whole Call of Duty seems out of the comfort zone for Call of Duty.
Right.
But, I mean, so is it a thing where the exo zombies just show up like mini bosses? Like,
See, I didn't get very far. I think I got to round 11.
Okay.
And by round 10, I did see a few exo zombies, and they didn't seem like they were that powerful. Again, like I said, I wasn't very high round level. It wasn't that difficult.
So there weren't like a whole horde or a whole train of exo zombies coming at you.
Right.
Okay.
And there is random airdrops. I'm assuming it's Atlas that's giving you the airdrops, and you got to get to them, and you collect them. It could be random things like a drone that'll fly around with you, or it could just be cash to use to buy stuff off the wall. Mm. So it's a little different. It's got its own twist, which I think it should have its own twist, being not Treyarch doing it.
I think
Sledgehammer, they need to add their own thing to it and let Treyarch do the real zombies.
Right, yeah, real zombies.
So
yeah.
And then besides the Call of Duty and Dying Light, I've been playing. I got back into Borderlands 2. I put it on my Vita. And then I loaded it up on PS3 so I can send my cross save over. You can, you know, cross play, cross save, all that.
Yeah, and I believe on the new package, the I guess it's the HD remake that they're coming out with in March here.
Oh yeah.
They said that you can actually carry over all your save data from your PS3 for Borderlands 2 and continue from where you left off, or amp up your character even more. So
yeah, that new remake per se, if you want to call it a remake. They're just porting it over pretty much to the PS4. Yeah. That's a pretty sweet deal. You get all that DLC. That was a lot of content.
It's Borderlands 2 DLC. It's the Tales from the Borderlands. And I believe it's the pre-sequel, all in one bundle. It's not a bad deal at all.
It comes with the Tales from the Borderlands 2?
I thought it did. I thought there was 3 different Borderlands games within the one package.
I think it was just the Borderlands pre-sequel and then Borderlands 2.
No, you would know. You're the Borderlands fan, so I'll just take my cue from you, brother.
Yeah, because the pre-sequel is not completely out yet. They're still releasing that as it comes out. So they're only on episode 1 of the Tales from the Borderlands.
Oh, okay.
I think I just said pre-sequel, but I meant Tales from the Borderlands. Right. On the first episode.
Oh, okay.
So
either way, it ought to be a great bundle, because if you liked Gearbox and any of their stuff, especially Borderlands, all the DLC from Borderlands 2, from what I remember, was great. Not only the costume changes, but the extra missions and all that other stuff. So, and then to get the Tales from the Borderlands tale with it, if you know Telltale Games at all, who has done Walking Dead Season 1 or 2, and then now Game of Thrones, they do solid work. So
yeah, I really like their the Fables that they did, Wolf Among Us. That was a great series.
Oh, yes, yes. So, that was great. I almost forgot about that. Yeah. It just came out last year. Yeah. Or like 2 years now, right?
It started in 2013. They wrapped it up in 2014.
Right, so. Okay. Yeah.
It was a good series. Yeah. So, not a lot's going on news-wise. We were just talking about Borderlands. I know I was browsing IGN, and Randy Pitchford put out there that they're definitely working on Borderlands 3. I'm not surprised there. You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was going to have to come eventually.
Yeah, that's a successful series. They're going to keep coming out with those. As long as we buy them, and as long as they're good, I'm going to keep buying them. So,
little bit of speculation. Do you think that they are going to continue with the cell shading type of art style for the next-gen systems, or do you think they're going to come with a more gritty, realistic version of their past titles?
I'm going to say they're going to stick with the cell shade. Yeah. I really like that art style. I think it fits that universe well. I like the way it looks.
Now, let me ask you. Do you think it would be a good fusion of the cell shading with realistic type backdrops? Like, let's say you got, you know, your world that you're traveling in and your character's all cell shaded, but then you look at the sky and it's like realistic clouds or like the volcanoes or what have you in the background. Kind of like, they've done in, recent movies where they added CGI with real actors and stuff. Like, they did that with Happy Feet, I believe.
Yeah.
Where they had all the animated penguins and then
they did it.
And what? Oh, Beowulf. Beowulf? I can't. Oh, that's right. They had real set pieces.
Yeah.
But then all the characters and everything was animated.
Yeah.
So yeah, what would you think about a Borderlands like that?
That'd be pretty sweet.
I would dig that for sure.
I wonder how much production value or how much production cost that would add for them to do that.
More than any one actor makes in a year, I tell you that much.
I don't know. There's some actors that make some loot.
Mm.
And Borderlands is all about that loot.
It is all about that loot and about that base.
Right.
But no trouble.
Right? And then, speaking of all that DLC content, CD Projekt, the devs behind The Witcher 3, they said in, I believe it was a interview with IGN, that they want to make a statement, and if you buy their game, The Witcher 3, at brand new, you get 16 pieces of free DLC. They said that they're gamers too, that they don't believe that you should have to pay for overpriced DLC.
Basically, they're saying it pays to pay. So they're going to hook you up with all, well, not all. It's like, would you say how many packages of DLC?
They said 16 pieces of DLC, and they said they're not giving away like 10 hours of story mode,
right,
or storyline. It's just, you know, it might be some customizations, you know.
Things that you, like, why should I have to pay for this?
Right.
Which is nice, because I think more developers should do that kind of stuff, because why should I give you 99 cents for a color costume change?
Or $15 for one monster on
it's just ridiculous.
I mean, the game's not even out yet, and they're talking about a $15 monster. Now, granted, that developer, I'm talking about the Evolve developer, they did say that while the game's in cert, they're kind of down, they can't really work on the game, so they're working on DLC. I do believe that in a sense, but don't say anything to us as gamers, because the game's not out yet. We're going to think that you're trying to stiff us.
Right, yeah. So. I mean, and as much as a fan of Destiny as I am, when you get a game that comes completed and it's all on the disc already and you have to pay for basically the unlock code to download that just so you can get the full experience of your game that's already there, I feel like it's kind of a ripoff.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
Everything is right there. That's why you had these videos of people traversing into areas that were really unattainable, but they found ways to get in there, glitching into them. And one specific example on Destiny, on Planet Venus, there is a glitch where you can jump up a wall and get to a whole other area that's not even technically accessible yet, but they have things like ghosts you can pick up and this and that, and it's already there. It's there on the disc, but they are going to charge you in the future, if you haven't already bought the season passes like I did, which you're still getting charged, to unlock everything else that's already there. That's like saying, here's your car, now give me $20 more for the key.
Right.
You know? So, I don't know. I'm not a fan of that. I've never been a fan of DLC. But when it's good and it feels worth it, like the Red Dead Redemption DLC, Undead Nightmare, that felt worth it to me. It was a whole chunk of the game
right.
that wasn't even there, an addict. It was something completely different. Like, the whole story was about this cowboy and his road to redemption, and then there's zombies out of nowhere. I loved it. It was so great.
Complete 180. You wouldn't have expected zombies for DLC.
Yeah, kind of like if you ever seen the movie From Dusk Till Dawn. It's a great, great Robert Rodriguez movie. It starts, you know, with George Clooney, of all people, is like, you know, pretty boy actor, high profile guy. He's a bank robber with his brother, Quentin Tarantino. And you think that the whole movie is about them trying to get across state lines. Then there's vampires out of nowhere, and hot vampires, because Salma Hayek's one of them. Ay, caramba.
You remember the human guitar?
Oh, yeah, the human guitar, yes. Let's kill that fucking band.
Right.
But, things like that I love. Anytime you get a nice little turnaround or a nice little twist when the game is focused on one direction and takes you another, that feels worth buying to me. Right. I would buy stuff like that all day as long as it's not $15 for one monster.
Right,
But, yeah.
Feels like a ripoff.
It does.
So that's really going to be it for the news this week. I mean, there's plenty of news out there. If you guys are wondering where we grab our news from, we get it from the same places you guys probably do. We like to check IGN, Reddit, you know, PlayStation Blog, all those places.
So. But we do our homework so you don't have to.
Right? You guys want to give us any suggestions? If there's topics that we missed and you think we should address it, comment down below, let us know, or send us an email. Follow us on Twitter. I'll put that in at the end of the show. We'll do a little shout out with our Twitter handles and all that good stuff.
Or if you think there's anything that's more relevant to the topics that we are talking about, or anything that you feel would be significant for any game related news, just drop us a line or a comment.
All right. Well, let's with this month coming to a close, let's go ahead and go with next month's free games. So if you pay for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live, I guess they're technically not free games, but they are considered the free games for the month. So, for PlayStation 4, you're going to get Transistor and Apotheon, which is a PS4 launch exclusive. That's how they worded it, so I'm assuming it's going to come to other consoles. It's just launching on the PS4 exclusively, and you're going to get it free if you have PlayStation Plus. Great deal.
Yeah, not bad.
And I believe that one is like Greek mythology, 2D, RPG
stuff. Yeah, 2D side-scrolling hack and slash, not really anything too complicated about it. If you ever seen...
I said the art style looked kind of neat. I was watching on the PlayStation.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of old Greek vases or vases or however you want to pronounce it. The art style of those where it shows the solid or singular character on the side of the vase. Yeah. And just standing there posing, whatever. That's the kind of the art style of the whole game. It's just this like stationary kind of monotone colors. Not really anything that was like, Borderlands, you know,
right. Vibrant,
but it was definitely interesting because it's different. You don't see a whole lot of art style like that.
Yeah. It's not a AAA game, you know, right. You're looking at indie games. So, and PlayStation 4 is all about helping the indies out. So. I'm looking forward to playing it, especially since I don't have to pay any extra for it, since I already paid for PlayStation Plus.
For sure.
I'm going to check it out in between Dying Light and all that. The other games that are coming, if you still have PlayStation 3, you're getting Yakuza 4. I've never played any of that series.
Me neither.
Watching the video, it looks a lot like Sleeping Dogs.
Kind of, except without the freedom of movement as much. And it just kind of seems like a Yakuza hitman or a gangster or whatever, just going around beating up random people right. For no reason.
And then the next PlayStation 3 game, Thief, which I bought on a Steam sale for $5, and I wish I wouldn't have spent that much on it.
Some games just need to stay dead.
Yeah.
Obviously, if it wasn't working before, there's not much you're going to do to the formula to make it work now. Prime example, Duke Nukem. That should have stayed back in the 90s where it died. In my opinion, the last game to me was just not a game at all.
Yeah.
It was like a big dick joke.
It's funny because Duke Nukem was a free game, or still is a free game right now for the Vita.
That should tell you something.
Right.
That should say something.
But anyways, that's it for the PlayStation 3. Now, if you still have a PlayStation Vita or own a PlayStation Vita, you're going to get Rogue Legacy, which is an indie-style game, Castlevania-esque game. Basically, you play a character, you go as far as you can, and when you die, all your money, all your belongings get passed on to your children, and then they play, take all your stuff and keep playing.
Oh, that's the one that kind of looks like along the same lines of Super Ghouls and Goblins or Ghouls and Ghosts.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, where you're the little knight. And yeah, it's like you said, every time you start off as the one character, when he dies, all his attributes or money and armor and stuff pass on to the
his
kids, his son or whatever. Yeah. And it keeps repeating the process each time you die.
Yep.
Now, didn't you tell me before that each child that the legacy gets passed on to has a different attribute about them, whether it be good or bad?
Yeah, it could be something good or bad. It could be like colorblind or dyslexic, and it'll change.
Interesting.
It should change how the dungeons or whatever appears, certain things like that. So that adds an extra element to the game. So I think it's kind of neat, you know.
Not bad.
You get someone you don't like, just kill them off right away, and then...
True, sounds good, yep.
You get someone good, you want to try and keep them alive as long as you can.
Exactly.
And then the other game is called Kick and Finnick, which I'm not sure what kind of game it is. I think it was a platformer kind of game. I watched a video on it. Doesn't look like it's a game I'm going to play, but if you have a Vita, might as well download it. It's free if you have PlayStation Plus. And then moving on to the Xbox side of things, if you have Xbox One, the game is Hashtag IDAR for Xbox One this month. It's a soccer-esque, sporty, indie-style game. I might download it, but I probably won't play it.
You look like a Minecraft figure, but like way smaller.
No, I think
smaller.
Minecraft has better graphics, but...
I think Lego has better graphics than Minecraft, though.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
But, I mean, like, your little character, if you want to call him that, just looks like a block with arms, kind of like the Minecraft characters do. And you just kick this soccer ball around an impossible field. It's not even like a plain field or like a 2D field. It's like this room, like a square rectangular room with all kinds of, if you've ever seen Plinko on Price is Right, it's basically what you're playing soccer in, is a Plinko board. And it just looks like a mess. Like,
yeah.
It just looks like a huge waste of time. The reviews say it's even hard to get down. They say the only real way you can have any fun with it is if you have a good team, but I don't see more than one or two people playing this game at a time anyway.
Yeah.
So, that's...
I'm not sure if it supported online play. I didn't really look into it.
That would be worse.
It doesn't push my buttons, per
se. Yeah, not at all. I wouldn't be pushing any buttons to play that, so...
Then on 360, for the first half of the month, you're getting Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons. Good game.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It was kind of received pretty well.
Yeah.
I think on the PS3 or PS4.
Yeah, it was free on PlayStation Plus about a year ago, so yep. Probably won't bother downloading it. My 360 hard drive is pretty full right now, so... And then the second half of the month, you get Sniper Elite V2. I've never played any Sniper Elite games. I think it reviewed well, but again, probably won't download it. I just downloaded The Witcher 2, which... If you watch this before the month ends, go download Witcher 2. Great game. It reminds me a lot of like Skyrim. It's a sort of a version of Skyrim. Play it. Tons of gameplay in that. And it's free right now if you have Xbox Gold. So go download that before it expires. So let's move on to the games that are coming out next week. First game we mentioned earlier is going to be free if you have PlayStation Plus. Is that Apatheon? I think I'm saying that right. Apatheon.
And then that Transistor going to come with it, because the first Tuesday of every new month is when they release their free games for the PlayStation Plus, right?
So, I think that's how it works.
Yeah. Yeah, because I know they started doing two games per free release a few months back. I actually think it was the beginning of last year when they did that. And so, yeah, it's the first Tuesday of every month. They release your free two games on each Sony system.
So yeah, that Apatheon, it is developed and published by Alien Trap.
Trap!
This is my first introduction to them. I'll check them out and see how they do. I don't know of any of their past work, so...
I like Alien Ant Farm.
Right? Alien Ant Farm.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, ba-da-doom, doom, ba-da-doom, doom. Yeah, I just remake other people's stuff.
There you go.
Right, right. There we go. Anyways, we'll check out their work, see how they do. It's free. It's not going to hurt us any.
Might as well.
You're only going to waste your time. I mean,
if you're not playing Dying Light, you're already wasting your time. So,
and if you're not, paying for PlayStation Plus, you're already wasting your money.
Exactly.
So,
time and money.
And then Game of Thrones, we mentioned last episode, episode 2 on the 3rd for PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, and PC. And then on Xbox One, Xbox 360, you're going to get on the 4th. And, of course, that's Telltale. And we already said, you know, what to expect in that one. You're going to the wall, all that good stuff. And then last but not least, SpongeBob Hero Pants.
Ooh.
That's only coming out on 360 and the Vita. Kind of a weird combination. So I don't know if that's 100% accurate. I checked IGN twice, and that's the only two systems they have it listed out coming for, is the 360 and the Vita. I'm not a big SpongeBob fan.
No.
I mean, I watched it when the kids were younger, but...
Can't even say I even watched the show. Not a big fan of the dumb sponge and his somewhat androgynous friend, Patrick.
Yeah. Yep. I think they got some movie coming out soon, so I don't know if that has any tie into it or not.
You know, the only reason I knew about that is because we went to go see another movie that was way better, and they had the trailer for that, and I literally used that entire time of that movie trailer to go do anything else.
Right.
I walked out of the theater, was like, you know what, I don't need popcorn, but I'm going to go get some popcorn.
Right.
And I didn't even eat it. Didn't even eat it. Just did it to avoid the trailer.
That's pretty much it. Let's go ahead and just give a quick synopsis on what you think about Dying Light so far.
So, like I already said, I think it's probably the best standalone zombie game so far. Outside of the original Resident Evils, like Resident Evil 1 and 2, and then Resident Evil 4 was probably the last best Resident Evil, in my opinion.
Yes.
But this...
I think that's a fact.
Yeah, that's definitely a fact, for sure. But Dying Light has got so many things right. The fact that it's first person and it's zombies, there is nothing to me more satisfying than being able to squash a zombie's melon and seeing it from your point of view. You just feel like you're there, you know what I mean? You never truly are feeling like you're there because the Oculus isn't available for everybody or whatever. David Bell, the choreographer for all the free running and parkour in the game, who, if you don't know who David Bell is, he's the godfather of parkour. He was also in Brick Mansions with Paul Walker, God rest his soul. One of the last movies Paul ever did, that was the guy, that's David Bell, he's the parkour king. And he did all the choreographing and the directing for the parkour movement and free running in Dying Light. And he said himself that it was the most freeing set of movement in a game he's ever experienced. And he's a pretty decent gamer himself. He claims to be a big fan of a wide variety of a lot of games. And he said that there is no other game where you can move so freely like Dying Light. And I'd have to agree. I mean, everything from
I've
Mario
heard it compared to Mirror's Edge a lot.
Mirror's Edge is another one, and even that doesn't compare.
See, I never played Mirror's Edge, so I can't really...
I played it from beginning to end. I liked it. I thought it was really cool being able to do that kind of free-running style and running off the walls and what have you, but it was nothing like this. Like, the speed and fluidity of movement, jumping over walls and hurtling under this and that, it's just, it's awesome. And then the fact that they added it and how you can step off of zombies themselves or even other player characters.
Yeah.
A buddy of mine, we were playing together and there's a big, huge crowd of zombies and I was coming up behind him, stepped off his shoulder onto a bus and then stood on top of the bus and just laid down hell with Molotov cocktails on all these zombies. So it was pretty fun.
Made it rain fire. There we go.
So yeah, it was great. I would give it a 10 out of 10 already. I might be giving it way too much love. There are, you know, as always, little technical hiccups here and there. Sometimes a couple of the enemies, the bigger what they call goons, they're above average height zombies with the clubs and whatnot. Sometimes their range of attack seems to vary.
Yeah, they seem to have very... You seem like you're out of their range.
Yeah,
how you
and you
get
still get knocked on your ass. But other than that, though, that kind of stuff is forgettable to me. Because it's like only so many times in a session that you run into those guys. And other than that, the tension is there at night when the zombies and the more strong zombies come out. And they actually reward you for staying out. So it's not a hindrance to stay out and get killed because you actually don't lose anything from getting killed at night. But they actually do reward you with amped up XP on a couple of your different leveling trees for staying out and surviving the night. So it's actually really fun to play.
Yeah.
What about you, your take on it so far?
So far, I like it. I'm maybe 7 hours in. I wouldn't say I'm ready to give it any kind of score or anything like that. Like Dave said, it's got a lot to do. You have three different skill trees, and each of them, depending on what you do, you level up that certain skill. And I like how you can choose what way you want to go. Initially, I think you have to pick the first skill of every one, and then you kind of branch off and do it the way you want. I like the drop kick. Yeah. It's so fun.
Yeah, the WWE style missile drop kick.
Yeah.
That and the
I like how they have the spikes set up around like all over the place.
Random spike strips and stuff.
Hit them with the burning throwing star and then drop kick them into the spikes. It's pretty fun.
Which actually, and for anybody who's playing, there is a trophy slash achievement if you find a burning zombie and grapple them and throw them onto spikes. It's called barbecue.
Yeah, yeah. I got to kick them onto
it. Oh, see, I tried kicking them and it didn't work for me. Yeah. I had to actually grapple a burning zombie and throw them onto it.
Yeah, I think they might still have to be on fire by the time they get the spikes.
Oh, no, yeah. Because the game will spawn zombies that are actually on fire from some random source. They're already walking on fire. And there's this one female zombie that I got the trophy with. I even threw her in water, and she was still on fire. So, like I said, it does have, like, technical glitches here and there, but they're so minor that you forget all about them the second you experience them.
Gotcha.
So, but yeah, it's really good.
I say, when you first start playing, my only, not even technically, like, a negative on it, you just gotta get used to it, is they map the jump button to R1, which I think is a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like I said, you're used to jump usually being X or square, depending on what system you're playing on. You know.
Or A.
Yeah.
On the Xbox.
So you get used to the jump being down there, but I think it's, with the way the parkour works and your different skills, especially with the drop kick, I think R1's a good spot for the jump button.
Yeah,
so just getting used to it. And then the one only negative thing I have is they really don't have a really good way to go down a level. I mean, the only thing you can really do is kind of look and then R1. You don't know for sure that you're going to land where you want.
Oh, you mean like drop from ledge to ledge or what have you? I've experimented with doing that on higher up places. And what I found is that if you kind of work your way backwards to where you can see your feet and look down the edge. If you walk off backwards and hold down your action, I call it the action because to me, it's the same button for jumping and for grabbing onto ledges and stuff. So I just call it action instead of jump.
Right.
Or the parkour button. But if you hold down that R1, if you're playing on the PS4 and was the right trigger on the Xbox.
R1, yeah.
Or whatever, it's R1 on both.
RB, I think.
RB. If you hold onto that as you're falling, I've noticed after a couple of, levels of falling down, he will grab onto whatever ledge you're facing. So, it's kind of random because I've fallen down a couple of stories before and he didn't grab on anything. But, I'd say about an 80% success rate on that. But it's like Tony was saying, they don't really have like push circle to drop down below or whatever.
Right.
It's just kind of like they expect you to not have to be as careful because the style of free running is you got to keep moving no matter what.
Yeah, yeah.
So they don't really have that option just because parkourists and free runners don't stop to edge off an edge. So I think that's honestly probably a better thing because it gets you used to, you know, not stopping and just free flow running. So
then my only other, I guess you would call it a negative is, we were in a lobby together or in a party chat together and I would join up with one of the guys. And if he was in his solo campaign, I would join up with him. And if our routers weren't in sync or if something would happen to where we would get kicked from his party, if he was in the middle of something, he would get booted out too. So that kind of stinks for him because I know at one point he was getting ready to clear a safe house and he was just pretty much getting ready to shut the door and he was finished with it. And then as soon as I joined up with him, either our routers weren't synced together, whatever the case may be, I got booted from his game and it made him lose his progress on the safe house. So that's, I don't know if there's a way that they can make it to where he's, you know, where he doesn't lose his save if I've joined him and something happens.
Yeah.
That's something they can patch in later. I don't know necessarily that's technically not their fault that our stuff didn't line up right, but it's just something that they can look into and see if they can fix.
I don't know. I'm glad you brought that up because that is like the one negative I've noticed where, they have quarantine zones in the game. Where the level of the zombie is harder, and especially if you're by yourself, everything's more difficult. Well, I noticed this happens twice for me now that I joined somebody else's game. I actually joined their game, and they were in the middle of a quarantine zone, and it halted their progress because I had already completed it. So in an effort to prevent me from grabbing extra one-time offer-only stuff, which these quarantine zones are, you can only do them one time, pass or fail, which is kind of annoying. He couldn't progress anymore. He grabbed the one package that was in this quarantine zone. There's supposed to be five packages total. and he only was able to grab one. And when I joined him, it halted the rest of his progress. And I left, and he tried to die to reset it, and it just it said he was done with the whole mission. And so that can be pretty upsetting. So if you're playing the game and you're going into a quarantine zone with somebody who's already done that zone, do not enter that zone with that person. You will not, as of now, until they patch it, you will not be able to complete that zone unless you do it on your own or with another partner or three that has not previously completed it. So be on the lookout for those.
And then some of my positives for the game. If you're playing on PlayStation 4, the speaker and the controller is awesome. I like how the radio works.
Yeah.
It adds a... It kind of breaks the fourth wall a little bit because, you know, you're used to hearing everything either through your headphones or through the TV and you're playing and you just hear it come through the controller like you got a radio in your pocket. I think it's kind of neat, you know.
Yeah, there's actually on Infamous Second Son when you get cell phone calls.
Yeah.
And that happened in that too. And I heard this cell phone ring and I looked at my wife and I'm like, we don't have a cell phone. Where the hell is that coming from? Oh, it's my controller.
Yeah.
Wait, that was a good idea on Sony's part. It, like you said, it definitely adds a whole new level of immersion within the game. You know, I almost was like, hello? But then I was like, what the hell? Right. You know, so, but yeah, it's neat because, you know, it's like you said, they talk on radios and, you'll get transmissions or call out from somebody else and the in-game character will talk through your headphones or the TV speaker. But then whoever's talking to him is coming through your speaker on the PlayStation controller. Really awesome. It's a great feature.
So yeah, that's, I think we're going to go ahead and tie that up for this episode. So we're going to keep it short because we're going to do a Let's Play video here next. So like I said, follow us on Twitter. I'm at Tony the Gamer Guy. Follow Dave. He's at
Deadpool Orta.
And go ahead, like and subscribe, please. Leave comments down below. Please, please, we need it.
I beg of you.
Let us know what you think. Give us some comments down below. Let us know what you think we should do for next month's topic. And look forward to having you listen to us, watch us, all that good stuff. Please subscribe to us in iTunes, all that jazz. Blah, blah, blah. We're wrapping this up.
And, YouTube too, right? We're going to be posting our the video cast and our Let's Plays on YouTube.
Yeah, yep. I just switched the YouTube name to Tony the Gamer Guy for now. Dave's got a YouTube channel. It's
Goku Order 5, the same as my PSN handle.
Yep.
And if you have any suggestions for Let's Plays you would like to see the two of us do, because casting and playing, we're kind of two separate entities. But it's really a lot of fun. I think the last time you and I played anything together, before this was
a Call of Duty.
Call of Duty or something like that.
Maybe Resident Evil 5.
No doubt.
That's been a while.
But yeah, if you have any suggestions of stuff you'd like to see us do together, whether it be single player or co-op or what have you, let us know in the comments. And, yeah, that's all I got.
That's going to be it for this episode. Thanks again, and have a good day, good night, good afternoon, and peace out.
Adios, muchachos.